6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. I am Chris at LifeForce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth at A4Sy03. Missing in action is Matt Lee at Mally underscore 61. He was in until he was out, and continuing to remain unfit to podcast, Adam O'Neill Carter at Adam FOC. How you doing there, Anna?
I'm all right. You know, I'm here. Like, unlike Matt.
You're always here.
Matt was game time decision, and you know, he took warm-ups, but did not come out to the bench for the first.
That's because he was a Mrs. Producer's decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
apparently, Matt just does not have...
Would she be the coach? Or is she now, like...
Do you think she's general manager,
president of relationship operations? Like,
she's... Or is she, like, Francesco, wanting to do it all?
Could be. See, the funny thing is, for those of you who listen to the podcast, like, Matt talks this big game, but really he can't play. He talks a big game.
Exactly.
He's not a player. And, like, you know, he was saying, oh, yeah, I'm back from Banff. I'm totally in. And then he says, actually, no, I'm out. We've got wedding stuff.
Who's getting married these days?
Well, not Matt, but they're still planning. Like, in fairness, you know, Marnie and I, we were engaged for like 5 years to the day, and then we got married, and then the actual wedding planning was maybe a year in progress. But we also having like a destination wedding, which made it a little more complicated trying to get things all sorted out. Still went off without too many hitches. You know, I never really shared this, and this is a hockey podcast, so it totally makes sense that I would. Marnie had her dress custom made for her. Like, it wasn't like you go to like a store and you know, they just size it. This was like full on custom made. Like, her mom wanted her to use this dressmaker or seamstress or whatever the term is. And Marnie picked it up the day, I want to say it was the day before we were leaving to go to Maui. And she did not try it on until we got to Maui.
What?
And it didn't fit.
Of course it didn't. Like, that is tempting fate.
So here we are, only days before the wedding. Her dress doesn't fit. So the wedding planner that we were using there, she knew someone. And this woman took it, did measurements. Yeah, I'll have it ready tomorrow. And it was like $40 US. That's all Marnie had to pay. And it's like,
wow. Like,
it was unbelievable. Like, obviously the amount of stress that Marnie was going through leading up to the actual dress being ready, leading up to her trying it on a Maui, not working, not fitting, to actually getting it, fixed. I don't know the technical terms, but the point being, it all worked out. Dress was beautiful. Bride was beautiful. Marnie could have shown up in sweatpants for all I would have cared. I would have been still stoked.
Yeah, that's nice.
Anyhow, hockey podcast and all.
Hockey podcast, but like, talking about always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Stanley Cup final has gone to game 6.
Yeah, and it's in progress as we're recording. Like, we might, depending on how quick the intermission and third period go, potentially know the result. But Tampa's up 2-0 right now. And to be honest, I did not expect there to be a game being played right now. I had presumed we would know who was going to be holding that Stanley Cup above their head. It looks like it's going to be the Lightning.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's just a slight delay to proceedings. Mm-hmm. Because Dallas have some fight. Like, they've gone pretty good considering the really rough schedule they've had. I mean, game 4 and 5 being a back-to-back, both going to overtime.
Well, yes, of course, because heaven forbid the NHL try to go up against the NFL, but then also want to get things done.
I mean, I understand that it was never going to be an ideal schedule, but there's been some really bad decisions. And it's just like, I don't know.
The NHL, it's their U.S. broadcast partner and NBC. At the end of the day, anyone who were to have considered this not to have been an issue, it was always going to be an issue.
Yeah, I just think the Stanley Cup final, some of the families are there, not many, but some. I just think you've come this far. Why make it?
Why rush it?
Yeah. I mean, I understand they had to rush it, the whole thing. But well, the Stanley Cup final, maybe not.
No, not yet. To your point, Stanley Cup final, they could have stretched it out a little bit longer. I don't think anyone would have complained. Maybe some of the players who aren't, you know, wanting to get home out of the bubble. But I think that even they, if they've made it this far,
yeah, exactly,
could probably, you know, deal with a few extra days before they got home to see their kids, see their family. And I'm not trying to take away from the strain of missing your family.
Yeah, sure, but...
I mean, I traveled to Toronto for a week in March and I was beside myself, like, you know, missing the wife and kids. So anywho, what are we going to talk about this episode, Anna?
Well, you know, it's like pretty much the off season for the Canucks. So there's going to be some revisiting of topics because, you know, things change. We're going to look into the Canucks' three big UFAs in Markstrom, Interfelli, in Tanev, see what's kind of moved over the last week, if anything, and what are our options if one/all of those UFAs don't work out. And then we'll do a much too soon look at next season, as we are fond to do one of those, and maybe what that looks like as for the league as a whole and who we might expect to do well and who might be going down the toilet.
That sounds like a solid episode. So let's waste no further time. Let's get into Rewind. It kind of feels like we're revisiting the conversation that you and I had only 1 week ago.
Well, we had it twice.
That's true.
Because of the lost tapes part two.
That's true. And so really, it's not actually 1 week ago when you would have heard it. It might have been a few days ago because we had to re-record. Oh, my goodness. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually not tempting fate and I don't have the game on. Because I'm too scared that it's going to mess with the recording.
Is that what was happening last time? Like the technology wise, you maybe sucked too much.
I think so.
Juice out of your computer. Yeah. So some backstory here: midway through the episode, Anna sort of shoots me a note saying, "Hey, things are frozen. Is it still working?" I took a look; it's still working. She and I could hear each other, and then when it came to production, yeah, Anna just stops, like, you know, just over 30 minutes in. And all you can hear is Chris. And as much as everyone wants to just hear me having a two-way conversation, but only one-sided, it just wasn't going to work out. So yeah, we re-recorded. And it wasn't even, I wouldn't even call it a tribute to the greatest episode ever. It was more of like a cover band.
Yeah. A cover band who's heard the episode once through.
Mm-hmm. And then fixed all the mistakes and had better flow and all that. But it just didn't have the same energy. Anyhow, here we are. We're getting back together again. We're going to talk a little bit about the UFA. So who are the big three? If you, for some reason, have not been following the Vancouver Canucks and did not listen to our last episode, you have Jacob Markstrom, you have Tyler Toffoli, and Chris Tanev.
In that order.
And then, you know, there are others, but those are the big three.
Mm-hmm. That's like Canucks have advertised that from the beginning, that's their list of priorities. Get Markstrom signed. Ideally get Toffoli signed. Then get Tanev signed. Mm-hmm. And they want all three back. They've said that from the start.
I it's one thing to say it, but like to reasonably make that happen, Trader Jim needs to become Magic Jim. I got nothing telling me that's going to happen.
That's the thing. On the one hand, I understand his strategy of saying, you know, we want all of them back. And because it's not like he's going to say, yeah, like, could take or leave Chris Tanev, you know, we're not going to get it done. Because that's not, like, even Jim Benning knows that that's not the best strategy, I think, PR-wise. But at the same time, advertising that you, like, want to get Marsham done, like, as your priority, then Toffoli. And then you've got Tanev, who's literally been waiting all season for a deal. Yeah. Just may not work out. We talked about this a bit last week. Like, what do you think is the main issue with Marsham? Do you think it's term? Do you think it's money? Do you think it's the protection in the expansion drop, or do you think it's all three? Like, what's the biggest thing?
Okay, I think it's a little bit of columns A, B, and C. Where I think the Vancouver Canucks sort of have the ability to maneuver is they can either give maybe one and a half of the three. So if they give money, there's no term and maybe some form of expansion-ish protection. But the problem is like no term, maybe there's no need for expansion protection. If they give term, the money has to be low. And then expansion protection, again, kind of ish here. Like I feel that for Markstrom to get really what he wants or probably can get on the market will require him to go to see if the market has the ability to bear that weight. I'm not confident he returns in a Canucks uniform. Mm. If you had asked me this question last week, I might have actually said, you know, 50-50. But now I'm kind of leaning more like 60-40, 75-25 that he doesn't.
Those are big numbers.
Well, it's just if the Vancouver Canucks were able to go and make a deal with Markstrom, it would have happened. And that's not to suggest it's not going to. There's still time. But I just feel as we're sort of getting closer and closer to free agency, there's more and more appetite for Markey to then go and explore. Now, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, I actually don't think the Canucks are in a hurry. If Jacob wants to explore free agency and you've made that decision that, yeah, if we lose him, we've got alternatives, that's not to suggest he doesn't come back to Vancouver. But I kind of think Markey gets what he wants on the market.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, JB this week, he said, you know, like, we want to sign him, but if he wants to explore the market, he has earned that right with his play. And I think you're right that you think he gets what he wants. Goalies are always a tough market. They always get underpaid. Well, not always, but often. But I will say that it does seem like there's a lot of appetite on the market for him. And I think with all the unknowns going into next season, there's like a real appetite for a durable goaltender. And yes, he went down 2/3 the way into the season. And then, yes, he went down and again in the playoffs. But like in terms of performing night after night, he's just one of the most consistent goaltenders in the league. And I think Rick Dhaliwal earlier this week, was saying that, yeah, he thinks that if he goes to market, he'll get what he wants.
And with that in mind, I kind of feel that's where he will go. And I'm not trying to run him out of town. I would like to have Markstrom back. Like, I think if you were to ask me in what order would I want to see these players return, Markstrom, Tanev, Toffoli. That's actually sort of my view.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see what you're saying. Yeah, because I kind of agree with that because I'm not sure we can get Toffoli at a reasonable price tag. Although it does seem like he's getting more and more willing to stay. Like, he's more and more excited to stay. That seems to be the rumor. But whether that can come down far enough, like, that 4.8 that we had rumored, I don't see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if like Markstrom's going to market / probably walking, then it's like, what does Toffoli, like, as that becomes more likely to, like, what motivation does Toffoli have to sign a lower contract? He's saying you can afford it.
Yeah. You know, if Markstrom walks, we, you know, in our last episode, we talked about you know, potential replacements. It would have to be a essentially an option to Demko, right? Like I can't see them trying to go and replace Markstrom with another sort of premier first.
That's the thing. Like Holtby put Vancouver on his list and there's talk of him coming, but like he's not going to sign for a backup role, even a 1B role, like he wouldn't be interested in.
And if you get like a, let's say a Braden Holtby, you know, into Vancouver, he's coming in at least at the dollars that Markstrom would have probably demanded.
Like maybe shorter term he might sign for, but then maybe. Again, if he's leaving Washington, why would you do that for lack of security?
Yeah, I just, like if let's say Holtby comes to Vancouver, I got to imagine the Canucks are then thinking of Demko as potentially trade bait. Right? Like, I'm not suggesting they do trade him, but I got to consider that they would be looking at him to acquire picks, acquire a contract off the roster. Like, I mean, you're not throwing, you know, Demko in as the sweetener, the term that, you know, Matt so often uses to consider a fourth round draft pick. But I kind of, like, in my mind, a goaltender like Holtby coming to Vancouver is just a sign of, we didn't get Markstrom, and we didn't have anything that we felt was going to be ready.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of been my point all along, that I think this team is built for, and this is how Jim and certainly ownership sees it, that they have a short window and they can win now. Mm-hmm. So if Markstrom goes, for me, like I've said from the start, that like I think you're saying that Demko's your goalie of the future, which Jim has called him this week, but I don't think he's a goalie of ready right now.
Yeah, well, and that's where, so like that's a fair point. But that's where I feel that you need to get the 1A, 1B, like the
totally
either the platoon goaltender or the veteran who knows that he needs to be able to go and get this kid up and running within the next season or two. Like it's a transition of, I might have the starting position this year, but next season, and maybe even this season, I may lose it through competition alone. Like I Holtby is not that type of goaltender.
He's not at all. And it just seems like, as much as I like Holtby, why replace like Markstrom, pay someone the same amount, someone that's having to come in cold to a team. Whereas Markstrom has this, you know, he knows how the defense plays or doesn't play. Mm-hmm. And I would say Holtby's like a better goaltender than Markstrom, but it's close enough that it seems like an odd move. Yeah. Just pay Markey if you're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, but then, you know, we don't know the details of Markstrom being term or dollar. Yeah,
exactly.
Or expansion draft, what have you.
I mean, we'll just quickly say, I do want to keep term low. I would love a three-year deal would be good for me on Markstrom. I don't know if he's willing to sign that, but I don't think he can go over four at all.
Well, I don't think Markstrom goes for low term. I don't think Markey does that.
No.
I like, you think about it. If he goes low term and things don't continue the way they were this last season.
I don't think he signs this for free. But
yeah, this is his make his money contract.
I just don't think you can sign a 5-year deal with Markstrom. That's just like, but if you are signing him, give him an expansion protection.
Yeah.
You're banking on him. Just.
And for those keeping score at home, like the make your money contract, Holtby is coming off his make your money contract. He just finished up 5 years at 6.1. So you consider that Markstrom is coming off as, was it 3.75 for 3 years? Was it?
Is it even that high?
I'm going to look it up right now. Okay. So Markey, his last contract was 3.67 for 3 years.
I was going to say
So
it's slightly low. I thought it was 3.5, but yeah.
Yeah. So this, he's looking for the show me the money contract.
Yeah. Because he's on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've gone through goaltending options. If Toffoli goes, do you think that Canucks need to sign another like top line?
I don't know. And like the struggle I have with the Canucks, you know, front six, I'll say front six,
mm-hmm.
is that I feel that they have sort of the pairs. Like, this is the Alain Vigneault concept of coaching. Yeah. You have your pairs. I think the Canucks have two pairs, and I feel that they could probably find chemistry from a JAG to fit in. That's not to suggest they don't go into the market and sign someone, but the Vancouver Canucks have just had absolutely limited success signing players through free agency to plug holes. I give you Exhibit A, Louis Erickson.
Yeah, big time.
You know, yeah, you might like, oh, you're just bringing out the garbage time and time again. It's not that bad. Sure, but I find that the Vancouver Canucks just, whether it's that they, you know, have to pay that much, like, you know, that the market will bear what the market will bear. Erickson would have got that money somewhere else too. But then conversely, might there be a better way to make that happen? And I mean, you look at a team like Ottawa who just bought out Bobby Ryan.
Yeah. What a feel-good story.
You know, I feel for Ryan. I think he's still got game. Might that be a player in free agency the Vancouver Canucks could capture for some show-me money on small term to almost showcase him or showcase himself? Like, I think Ryan could be that type of player. So if we think about free agency in that sense, sure. But, like, who is it that the Vancouver Canucks are going to go and try to get after? If it's not Toffoli, you know, we're going much further down the list as to where, you know, they would talk about affordability.
Is there someone, like, if in a much too soon pick, how would you see the top two lines shaping up minus Toffoli? Opening night, December, January, or whenever that is.
Well, I think the top line's the Lotto line.
Yeah.
Like, that's clear. Now, beyond the Lotto line, Horvat would be centering.
Exactly, right.
Pearson.
We don't have a depth at right wing. We really don't.
Well, so, okay. Ferland's healthy. Michael Ferland could be, like, there's the difficulty to have with the Canucks forwards is just like Louis Erickson. There's just, as we've discussed, there's no way he's back on this roster next year. He's either down in Utica riding a bus or some other team is going to go and take his contract off the books. You look at Brandon Sutter. Brandon Sutter's probably not going to return as a Vancouver Canuck. Here's another player that might go and find himself on another roster. Michael Ferland, question marks around his health and fitness. Left wing, mind you, but, you know, Sven Berchi. I think Sven's got game, but maybe not here in Vancouver. And as we're sort of going down, then that starts to leave, you know, like Zach MacEwen. I don't see Zach MacEwen as a second line forward.
No, like, Jake Virtanen, he's a good depth player.
Not a second line forward. Tyler Mott could in a pinch, but now we're starting, like, this is where I think Tyler Mott's sort of the JAG that then starts to excel. And I'm not trying to sell Tyler Mott short. I want Mott back. So again, if anyone from the broadcast is listening, I am full on having another Mott girl summer. Yeah. Josh Levo.
Yeah. I mean, I was just reading through some Josh Levo stuff just now. Whilst also, of course, paying attention. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out just how close he is.
Yeah, Cole Lynn, but like Cole, he needs seasoning. Like, I think maybe.
I like Josh Levo a lot, can I just say? And I think he was showing a great deal of promise, and that injury was just came at a really brutal time. No penalty on the play, just as a reminder. Hmm. And he is still out 9 months later.
Is above board.
Uh-huh.
A little bit off the rails here. Major League Baseball.
Okay.
There was a I think it was Josh Donaldson, who was a, people might remember if they followed baseball. He was on the Toronto Blue Jays for a while. He had, was it a week or two ago, a strike call that he felt was horrible. Like, you look at the replay of the pitch, it was like low and inside, like it was nowhere near the strike zone, but the umpire called it a strike. That pissed Josh off so much, he hits a home run. Like, that same at bat, knocks it out of the park, trots around the bases, and you can tell he's just like full of energy, and he gets to home plate. He kicks dirt on the plate, and then the umpire tosses him for that. So I can't say I've ever seen a player knock one out of the park and get thrown out after they score.
I mean, what an exit, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're going to go out, there's other ways you can go out. Why I bring this up.
But that's I was just going to say, that's a power trip. That umpire knew that they called the wrong strike zone.
Oh, no. Josh knew he was going to get the heave-ho. Like, the, right. It's okay. The type of situation where, like, you know, soccer. If I, you know, a cynical foul to deny an obvious goal scoring an opportunity, what do I do when I get up? I just get up and I start walking towards the training room. I thought you were going to say,
like, take your shirt off.
Well,
if you're on a second yellow.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, I know exactly what the result was. Josh knew what the result was. But why I bring up this story is afterwards, he talked about how in Major League Baseball, he feels that the umpires have no system of remediation. So if you make a bad call, there's no follow through, there's no improvement. And I'm not going to suggest that that's completely true, but I kind of look at the NHL officials, and I know that they have some senior and now retired officials who monitor, coach, and help grow the game. And you know, they're human. They will make mistakes. I don't recall I've ever heard of an NHL official ever being sent back to the minors, so to speak.
Yeah, no. I was going to say during that baseball story, did they not have VAR? Like,
so baseball does, but balls and strikes are judgment calls.
Okay. Because to me, like, baseball is a game like cricket that is just so well suited to some kind of decision review system, because it's so like
little bits
just like cricket.
And this is the thing, like, they'll, like, you look at the strike zone specifically, technology has come to such a point in time that a computer could determine whether or not it's a ball or strike and call it within, like,
I know, like
almost a 99 percentile of accuracy.
And
you take the human factor out.
Honestly, don't think you should be like reviewing every ball.
Well, that's the thing, though, is if you're going to put AI in charge of the strike zone and you're not going to review, like, that's.
Or maybe you should do. So cricket has just literally, like, within the last few months, just decided to put technology, like, there is an umpire. Not on the field, the third umpire who does the decision reviews, but they are also in charge of front foot, no balls. Basically, in cricket, you have to, like, the bowler has to keep their foot, their landing foot.
Are you talking about line. No, like B-O-W-L-S, like bowl?
No,
B-A-L-L-S.
Yeah, so, because can I just say,
front foot, no balls?
Front foot, no balls. So it's a no ball if your foot, like, lands in front of the crease. It has to land behind it.
Okay.
Used to be that the umpires on the field were in charge of that. So they were having to look at absolutely everything, which just wasn't feasible. So no balls got called unless it was a wicket. And then they were like, then they had the opportunity to review. So if it's someone off the field who's just saying, that was a strike. That was a strike. I don't know. There's no perfect option, but like, it's definitely more set up for a review system than hockey or football.
Oh yeah, no, and there is, like, the number of reviews and what's reviewable in baseball is actually much more significant than that in hockey.
Wait, hockey is not got it figured out yet. I think it will, but it's not that yet.
I have no problem with hockey where they now, if you challenge a play and get it wrong, I love that.
What's a reviewable play and what's not? I mean, can we just get rid of the puck over the glass penalty? That would be great.
Yeah, wow. The moment you do that, the puck goes over the glass all the time. Like, I think it needs to be, like, I personally put it in the hands of the referee, make it a referee discretion. Because if it's referee discretion, it takes reviewability out of the picture. And it also allows a referee to try to ascertain intent. So you think about it, like, there's a lot of calls in the ice.
Intent that's within like a second, millisecond. I think that's...
So, okay. You know what? Like, was it Patrick Wall once knocked one, like he had his like hand-eye coordination. He just bat one over the glass. No problem. Like, if Patrick Waugh can go and do something like that, you can sort of, he's not just swinging and knocking one. Like, I think over time, referees are going to be able to go and deal it. Are they going to make mistakes? Sure. I might not be looking to put it out of play, but I swing for the fences. I sort of take that risk. You know, if I try to go and, you know, quickly throw my stick at a puck and it takes off, again, at least putting it in the hands of the referee. Right now, as it stands, because there's no judgment, it has to be sort of all or none. And now it's getting to the point, like, did that, like, just nick the edge of the glass? Or did that go over sort of the bench? And yeah, not that, like there's too much that now is getting pulled into question. We're a little off the rails here, because that's what you and I do.
literally back, just went through like several different sports. What were we even talking about?
We were talking about Tyler Toffoli replacements. Oh, yeah. And Josh Levo came up and
was injured. Discipline.
No call. Yeah. And wow. I took us to baseball. Guys. You brought us to wicket.
That was bad even for us, I think.
Well, as we, you know, here, let's sort of tie things together in rewind here. The one player that we haven't been talking about so far is Chris Tanev.
Poor Chris Tanev. He got forgotten again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all we're doing is we're simply following the lead of the Vancouver Canucks. I will be brutally sad if Chris Tanev is not a Vancouver Canuck next season. He was the one sure thing in my mind going into, really, the playoffs and coming somewhat out of the playoffs, and yet he seems to have garnered the most interest. Markstrom's gotten some interest, but like seems every team in the NHL wants Chris Tanev on the roster.
Why wouldn't you? He's a delight.
Oh, no doubt, but I just wonder if the Vancouver Canucks might have misidentified their player priorities, in so much that they felt like the Canucks blue line, let's be real here. What has been the weakness for the Vancouver Canucks? Has it been forwards, goaltenders, or blue line? As I can remember, it's been the blue line. I mean, yeah, they might have multiple weaknesses, but the blue line, and if they have a solid blue line, it's sort of held together by Sammy Salo shoelaces. So let's call a spade. You would think that this is an area that they would have some concern about.
Yeah, and at least making sure that like Chris Tanev knew that he was valued and that they were doing their best to make it work to get him on the roster. But, you know, we are not working for the Canucks amazingly. I don't know, my application to be general manager must have got lost in the mail.
Oh, God. You know, this conversation comes up on Canucks social from time to time, but imagine if Canucks Twitter was a Canucks GM. First of all, it would have to function in so much as a democracy. So essentially everything is a Twitter poll, which means there are only ever four possible outcomes. Or we could further reduce it by being likes or retweets.
Yeah.
So it would be like essentially a binary question. And I like for this or retweet for that.
So it's, I think it's like to re-sign Markey, retweet to let him walk. And then depending on the result of that, we just like do term and dollar amount through a Twitter poll.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So imagine if Canucks Twitter, Canucks Social were actually the GM of the Vancouver Canucks. How crazy would things be?
Yeah. Be a lot of fun though.
And here we are knocking, you know, Trader Jim.
Well, you know what? Like,
imagine Twitter Jim.
Oh God. But the long and short of it is that Chris Tanev might be gone next year.
Might be. I kind of think that ship has sailed.
I mean, like, if I was a betting person, I would say he's gone. But like, you know, it ain't over till the valley sings. But we'll see. But
so who do we? He's gone. I was gonna say, like, who do you have coming in? So if we think about players down in Utica, and I'm just gonna list off the right side of defensemen. You've got Jet Wu, you've got Mitch Elliott, Brogan Rafferty, and then on RFA is Jalen Chatfield. So those are all your right defensemen.
Has Jet Wu played a game for Utica?
Probably not.
Nope.
Looking at his, looking at his contract, yeah, probably not. It's not above the Vancouver Canucks to bring kids into the roster. I can do Jake Virtanen and Jared McCann.
Yeah, he has not.
Quinn Hughes. Hey, maybe. I mean, maybe we got another Quinn Hughes on our hands.
Let's just go with the assumption that we're going to get an AHL season, which is not a given. Yeah. Especially with a smaller team like Utica, locally owned team with not a lot of money. Yeah, not a given, but like, let's say we are. I mean, I think obviously Brogan Rafferty is someone that I've been looking at for a while that I'd like to see him and see how he's developed over the year, because I think he had some deficiencies to work on. So we'll see, but he's filling out the bottom of your roster. I can't see him playing with Quinn.
Well, that's the thing, is who's playing with Quinn?
Like Troy.
Well, okay, so this is the other thing.
I think
if Tanev walks, Troy's coming back, right?
Yeah.
Troy Stetcher has to be back in a Vancouver Canucks uniform if Chris Tanev is long gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your second pairing. And then your third pairing is...
Wait, no, but that's our first pairing.
Oh, okay. So your second pairing is Myers-Edler?
Yep.
Okay, sure. That's fine. So and then your
bottom pairing is Brogan Rafferty. Oh God! We've got
Jordy Benn.
Yeah.
There's Rathbone, college kid.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on Rathbone. He seems amazing, but let's.
So okay.
Due process. We have to bring someone in.
So then
we can't come back with that lineup.
Just listing off, a handful of players here. So Dustin Byfuglien, who currently is playing for no one, he's available. Whether or not he's wanting to come back to the NHL, I don't know.
Very fit to play in the NHL.
Pietrangelo, technically available. Right side, Justin Schultz, Tyson Barry, Andy Green, Sammy Vatanen. Andy Green, if he were to come in, that's like you're throwing him down on your third pair.
Andy Green, good in the room.
Yeah, well, I gotta have guys that are good in the room, as we know.
I think we are looking at the tier below, like Barry and Pietrangelo.
Cody Ceci.
I mean, we talked these through a little bit last.
Well, we talked a little bit about trade targets, but now we're sort of looking at, the clear and freer in the free agency. The difficulty in free agency is defensemen. You're either good and you get money, or you're not so good and you don't. And the Vancouver Canucks are in a situation where if they're not so good, you probably can roll the dice on what you have and save the cap space for later on.
I mean, we did kind of mention this almost in a positive way, that like the new young defensemen that are coming in. But the flip side of that was there's kind of a gap.
Mm-hmm.
Of the, early career to mid-career defenseman.
Maybe Jim brings in Matthew. He's available. Matt Benning. Oh. That's his nephew, isn't it?
Not his kid. Yeah.
No, I knew he wasn't his kid. There's relationships there. I mean, hey.
But hey, I was going to say, if Chris Tanev couldn't get Brandon Tanev to sign for the Canucks, do you think Jim's capable of getting his nephew in?
If it's an NHL contract or no NHL contract. I was just going down. That's not the side that we would be looking for, but Ben Hutton's available.
I mean, he's a hardworking kid.
Ben Hutton, I really enjoyed Ben Hutton.
Yeah. And I liked the moment of his moment that he had, but.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about replacing Chris Tanev with Ben Hutton.
No. But yeah, you're right. Don't bring in a subpar defenseman. A dollar and term that we're not comfortable with. But it just makes you like, it just is upsetting, because if we're trying to push for the cup, like, that's the one area that we need to invest in the most. Protect your goalies, whether that's Demko or Markstrom, but, like, Demko specifically, if you're rolling on them, protect your goalies, who are, like, pretty good at dealing with high pressure, but, you know, and Markstrom's elite, but he can't hold out forever. He needs a better defense, and it's getting worse.
Well, and that's the catch 22. Vancouver Canucks, they don't have a strong defense
in the bottom six.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. For one of the first times ever, I don't envy being Jim Benning.
Yeah. Because honestly, you can see it happening, right? The roster that we came up with, that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn and Troy, Edler and Myers. I mean,
and people.
Yeah. Edler's contract comes off the books after another year, so maybe you hold out for another year and wait, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, it's going to be a fun offseason. It's why you have the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. You are listening to us on the Full Press Coverage Network, as well as CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Is it time that we look ahead to 2021?
I mean, why not, hey?
Because we're only minutes away from the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup. I'm kind of watching it-ish. Khudobin's still in the net. The Stars just came off of a power play that was unsuccessful. So it's getting dire for those fans in Dallas. But looking beyond the Stanley Cup, what comes next? Well, there's free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a tweet from Bob McKenzie, who's retired, but not really. And he's going to be coming back for TSN's free agent frenzy, which is good. I like Bob, but I also get that, you know, he's reached that point where he wants to wind things down a little. Yes,
exactly. I think he's just taking some time off, you know. I think he'll still be around. So,
okay, time off, or as in, like, shows up for, like, the big moments. Kind of yes. Like, so I don't know if the name Brian Williams, the Canadian version, not the Canadian version in the US.
No.
Okay. So he's a sportscaster. I don't know what network he's on. His name's Brian Williams. He was previously on CTV. He essentially shows up anytime the Olympics are on.
And he's often
like the Canadian anchor. I don't know what Brian Williams does outside of the Olympics. So maybe that's what Bob McKenzie will do. He'll show up for those big moments, you know, once every 4 years or 2 years or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. They Anyhow, have sorry. People like that in the UK where they're just there for transfer deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, free agency, the draft.
And then a season ish.
I mean, they don't know yet. They don't, like, there's no date, right? But you are seeing more and more places I'm finding that are doing, that having people inside at events. But I don't know if that precipitates, that means that we're less likely to get people in because it will just precipitate another rise in cases. But
you know, I think the NHL has to consider they have significant logistical challenges for Canadian-based teams. Like, in the current state of affairs, Canada's border control is relatively stringent, all things considered. And I know there are some who are like, oh, they let these millionaire hockey players already come here, so why would they have any issue? the Toronto Blue Jays got nowhere with the Canadian government in the hopes that they would be able to go and not only for them travel, have teams travel to them and get around the quarantine requirement. Major League Soccer may have made inquiries, but the three Canadian clubs are now based out of the United States. Like, I just watched the Vancouver Whitecaps play the Portland Timbers in Providence Park in Portland, where the Vancouver Whitecaps were the home side.
Right.
They still lost. But the point being is it's surreal that Vancouver, the home side's playing in Portland's park. But that's, again, that's how they have to operate moving forward. So being that the Canadian teams are obviously based up here, we might see a realignment of the divisions where there's like a Canadian conference, a bunch of games between I don't know how they would make that work. You sort of the three in the East, you have your three in the West and Winnipeg.
I know. It's the little seesaw in the middle, pivot in the middle so, there.
They could have travel there, and then the U.S. might have different sort of divisions, or like maybe it's three through three. Like I don't know what the structure would be.
Because I will say that either the options are the Canadian government changes their minds. Doesn't seem very likely at the moment. It would have to drastically improve, or the NHL would have to just pitch a really strong case for their safety precautions. I think that's pretty unlikely right now. Mm-hmm. Or they realign the divisions, so like Canada just plays in Canada. Or they relocate all the Canadian teams. Yeah.
Into the US.
The US. Can we play in Seattle's arena?
Yeah, well, Key Arena exists.
Yeah. But then where do Toronto go play in Buffalo?
Well, but the okay, well that's considering Montreal the Sabres have often marketed to Toronto. Montreal, Detroit, that's a little for
I'm trying to think of all the
I would see Montreal would potentially go down to Jersey or New York.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, the Eastern Seaboard. The thing about Canadian teams being based in the United States, if I'm a Canadian NHL franchise, as an owner, I would simply be saying, cool, so the NHL is going to subsidize me, right? Because at that point in time, I'm now being told I have to fund, housing and whatnot. It's more than just going on a road trip. You're going on the road for a season.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's so many questions that I think for us to even contemplate what this would look like would need to be answered. What will the Canadian government's position be on travel to and from the United States? It's been on a month-by-month basis where the border has been locked down. But regardless of whether or not that land border lockdown exists, the 14-day quarantine requirement is in place regardless of where you might come back from if you're given an opportunity to leave the country. Could it be that when a U.S. team comes to Canada, that the NHL makes an arrangement with the Canadian government, the team shows up in Canada has 2 weeks off. So they'll kind of almost an all-star break-ish.
Yeah.
Where you get to hang out and then you travel through Canada and then eventually go home. I don't know what that would look like.
Yeah. I was going to say they could arrange around that. They might be able to negotiate a shorter quarantine given the quarantine bubbles. I know they
But the thing about the shorter quarantine is I would have thought that if that was at all going to be possible, it would have been this summer for the Toronto Blue Jays. If there was a team that was going to be able to go and argue that, it would have been the Blue Jays, because at that point in time the numbers were still sort of believing to be on the low trend. Now we're seeing a rise. Our prime minister has said we are in our second wave, so I think the NHL's got a real tough spot to figure out. The other alternative is they go back to what they did, is they do some form of bubble season. But then
I don't see the NHLPA agreeing to that.
Oh, no. But maybe I should sort of broaden the concept of bubbles, is that you have a bubble Western Canada, Eastern Canada, divisional realignment. But we haven't even contemplated the fact there are going to be, I would imagine, some teams in the United States saying, what do you mean we can't put a butt in the seat here?
Yeah.
Because I'm watching the NFL football games go on, and occasionally you'll see a handful of fans in the stands. College games, football games in the United States, there's fans in the stands. I can't imagine an NHL team might say, we're allowed to, so can we?
And let's not forget that the NHL is in the States is completely tied into the NBA.
Well, that, and it's also, I was going to say, well, somewhat of a gate-driven league.
Completely gate-driven.
Of the big four, if you consider the NHL still in the big four as you get in the United States, gate's important. It's not like CFL up here, gate-driven. It's gate's important.
Yeah, totally. But it feels like it will be dependent on what the NBA do, because if the NBA have different protocols to the NHL, and that was a big problem at the start of the pandemic, was that it's a strong possibility that the virus, like, that hastened on, like, the closure of the NHL is because NBA, right? So,
oh yeah, no, and NBA, like, you go back in time. I can't remember what the guy's name is now.
The guy that touched everything.
Yeah, and then proceeded to test positive and functionally caused the NBA to shut itself down, and that kicked off the domino of every other professional league falling suit. I believe the league shut down. It just may not have been as hasty, and it may have been, instead of all of them sort of at the same time, it would have been...
I mean, the same thing happened later, in the Premier League. Basically, it was the president of Greek club Olympiakos who went and met a lot of the Arsenal players and staff at the Europa League game, then got coronavirus, then, the Arsenal coaches and staff and players got coronavirus, and that basically,
I thought you were
going to
say
it
that it was just it was a team partying with Djokovic at some rave or something like that.
I mean,
cross contamination between sports there, but
that was a whole mess. But I think we basically just brought up a lot of issues and not many answers. But they're in a uniquely difficult position, I would say, because it's not just one team. You have to move into the States.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you think about baseball and NBA, they have one team each that they have to figure out. The NHL doesn't. And the thing about the NHL is they can't, like, the Canadian teams drive business.
Yeah.
In a pandemic world, I don't know if the Canadian teams are still driving business as much as they would under normal circumstances. You need that engine still running.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the Toronto TV market controls the whole league, does it not? Is it not the most important part of the fan base?
Well, I read on Twitter today that Toronto is downtown Canada.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't quite know the context behind Toronto being downtown Canada, but does that make Vancouver cottage country?
I just wouldn't like to comment.
Anywho, back to fans and stands.
Okay, sure.
Would you go to a Vancouver Canucks game to watch them play at the Rog? Maybe let me rephrase that. What would you need to go and watch the Canucks play at the Rog?
I think it would be a lot. It would take a lot for me to get there, because I know I kind of shocked my friends when I was saying, well, if I have to wear a mask to the game, I don't want to go. And I was just like, oh, that came across badly. I'm not anti-mask, obviously not pro-mask. Protect yourselves. But if we're in that state, I don't know if I would feel comfortable going. Like, I want to be in a better scenario. And I just don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, and I...
Just like, how do you could, like... You know, they can't have the Whitecaps and... like the Canucks play on the same night. They can't have a concert in BC Place at the same night as a Canucks, because it just gets so crowded down there. I mean, I went to a preseason game when there was a concert at BC Place, and it was nuts. Like, you can't do that. How do you control the crowd getting people in?
No, and I, you know, crowds are one thing. Like, I was going to use the perspective, like, I had to go down to the office for essentially it's like the second time since the office closed the pandemic. I elected to drive and pay for parking because I did not want to ride on transit. Not that I have anything against transit. And I would have been a guy wearing a mask. You would not have seen me on the news not wearing one and getting into a fight because of it. I simply did not feel comfortable putting myself into a position where I could, put others at risk or even, my wife and daughter at risk. I look at, like, when will you see me back in the stands, whether it be supporting the Whitecaps or whether it be the Vancouver Canucks? Probably vaccination or a significantly responsive therapeutic treatment.
Right.
Like if it's simply, if COVID-19 is as impactful as what we would refer to as the flu, across the masses, at that point, I might be willing to go in and accept, that because there's an effective and responsive therapeutic treatment. But failing that, I'm just not comfortable. And I was talking to, this is a few months back, to my account manager for the Whitecaps, and he had sort of asked a similar question. And I'm like, quite frankly, if I don't feel safe, I'm not going to remain a season ticket holder. Oh, that'd be too bad. I think things will work. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to be negative. It's just that I'm not going to be comfortable enough to go and step foot in the stadium. And it has more to do with one, the, roll of the dice. Like,
I'd actually have to ask my dad what he did with Arsenal, because I know as a season ticket holder, you were allowed to put your name down for 10 games and you would be like put in a lottery for those. At the moment, all plans to put fans in stands in the UK have been scrapped, which, I know some people have, especially lower down the league, have been able to do it responsibly. But the Premier League doesn't feel like it's an option, especially in London. But yeah, I probably, if I was home this summer and there were a couple of times where they got fans into the stands for the cricket, I would have gone. I think I would have gone because it's like a huge stadium. They're putting 1,000 fans.
Oh, so like open air.
And it's open air.
Okay.
There's just like, it would just be like going to a supermarket, honestly. You queue up social distance. You're miles away from anyone. I would have gone for sure.
Whitecaps, 1,000 people in BC Place, they open up the hole.
Yeah.
So it's efficient. Like I'm trying to sort of relate to a more local example here.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know.
No, and I guess it's not an easy decision. And for someone who were to say, well, Chris, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I think it's it's very personal about comfort level. And I don't really have a good answer, but.
No, and that's
not
the thing,
soon,
though.
I would say.
Yeah, would there I is no
happy to go back to the Raj.
Good answer. It's essentially a very personal question that requires some thought and consideration. And we're so far away from the possibility when it comes to the NHL to really even consider it. What will that look like? What will be in place? What safety measures? I'm coming to the realization that what we will view as our new normal is going to be the enhanced approach that we take to infection control. So, we're probably moving forward going to see more and more masks out in public. I've sort of already considered, I might just wear one. I don't mind. It's not for me. It's, if you give me the choice, Chris, mask or no mask. In a vacuum, sure, no mask, but I'm not in a vacuum. Like when I'm at Costco, I'm glad I have my mask on.
Oh yeah, definitely. When I'm downtown, I definitely put it on. But as a glasses wearer, there's definite downsides to masks.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my glasses right now, but I don't when I'm out and about. So I get that. I appreciate it. Like I think though.
But yeah, it's definitely good, and it gives you a little bit of extra security for sure. I was also just noticing that yes, the Lightning, as everyone else will know, have just won the Stanley Cup.
Yay!
Anna's
hedged bet is correct. Chris's bet was wrong.
Yeah, I guess I won my fantasy pool. Yay me! Yeah. Good for Patrick Maroon, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Just like for a bit pop player, he's just won two back to back Stanley Cups.
Got, future Vancouver Canuck right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steven Stamkos got how many minutes of ice time? 3? Scored a goal?
I mean, Like, is he even okay? I don't think he's okay.
I was shocked to see him take the pregame skate. I was shocked to see him play. And then when he didn't come back, it sort of begged the question, like,
I mean, they did the whole, when they were trying to preserve Henrik's Ironman streak, that's the treatment Stamkos got.
Yeah, the difference, however, is it was preserve Henrik's streak and
play in the Stanley Cup final. Slightly different.
Yeah, slightly different.
But yes, once again, playing through injury, hockey culture strikes again. But yeah.
So this short episode, clocking in about an hour.
I know, and we actually are missing out a chunk because that would take too long to get to, honestly. And so
we'll save it for the next episode.
Exactly, because this, the thing that we don't have time to discuss. No, I'm not going to say it because let's just like make you guys wait and it will keep. So in our next episode where we celebrate the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the cup. No.
Do you think we'll have an answer to the Vancouver Canucks free agent situation or at least some additional clarity a week from now?
No. Sorry. Like, I hope we do, because then we'll have more to talk about and I'd like to get some sense of where this team is going, but I don't hold out high hopes. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so surreal. I think in the grand scheme of things, like when we talk about, you know, past years, we had an idea, like everything was sort of already planned. Like we knew the All-Star game next season and the draft and everything. And unfortunately in the current state that the world is in.
Yeah. A lot of unknowns.
Our podcast is currently working on a week to week basis. But as we look to wrap this episode up, Anna, any final words of wisdom that you want to share with our zillions and millions of C4 listeners? I actually just want to point out our stats are through the roof. Like, I don't know if it's just the appetite for hockey, but you, our listeners, are phenomenal. Like, we're pretty much pre-pandemic levels for the podcast, which is awesome.
Thanks for sticking with us. And yeah, hopefully there's just going to be... There's still going to be more to come. We're still here. You know, we're still going to be putting out episodes. So appreciate it. My final words, I mean, this is apropos of nothing, apropos of the fact that I just opened Twitter and I've been tagged into this conversation that I've basically had no part of since the beginning. But it's the same old story of men telling women, in this case, friend of the show, Samantha from broadcast, just what they can and cannot do in terms of sports. I'm going to borrow a phrase, very pithy phrase from some merch that I just bought. Women belong in sports. Stop telling them they don't. And that's my final word, final thought of the...
I didn't want to interrupt. Sorry. That pause wasn't intended to be like purposeful. I wanted to give you the clearing that you needed there. I'm genuinely curious. I'm going to have to go and see what kind of idiots are out there, because there are plenty.
So many.
I have no words to top that. Outside of listen to Anna. She's right.
Yep. As always.
So, on behalf of the Unfit Podcast, Adam O'Vanel Carter at Adam FOC, Matt Lee @Matt_61, the ever so awesome Anna Forsyth at A4Sy03, myself, Chris at Lightforce. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you from CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. And by the way, we out.